Let's read together Leviticus chapter 27. In this final chapter of Leviticus, we are given the regulations under the law concerning the making of vows. We also have some further details about tithing under the law. Let's begin by reading the first 8 verses of the chapter. Leviticus chapter 27, beginning with verse 1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when a man consecrates by a vow certain persons to the Lord, according to your valuation, if your valuation is of a male from 20 years old up to 60 years old, then your valuation shall be 50 shekels of silver, according to the shekel of the sanctuary. If it is a female, then your valuation shall be 30 shekels. And if from 5 years old up to 20 years old, then your valuation for a male shall be 20 shekels, and for a female, 10 shekels. And if from a month old up to 5 years old, then your valuation for a male shall be 5 shekels of silver, and for a female, your valuation shall be 3 shekels of silver. And if from 60 years old and above, if it is a male, then your valuation shall be 15 shekels, and for a female, 10 shekels. But if he is too poor to pay your valuation, then he shall present himself before the priest, and the priest shall set a value for him according to the ability of him who vowed. The priest shall value him." Let's begin our study of this final chapter of Leviticus, Leviticus chapter 27, with some background notes. When we read this final chapter in Leviticus, the first question that comes to mind is, why is this chapter placed here in the book? After all, the last verse of chapter 26 seems like a fitting conclusion to the end of the book of Leviticus. Look once again at verse 46. The last verse of chapter 26. "These are the statutes and judgments and laws which the Lord made between himself and the children of Israel on Mount Sinai by the hand of Moses." Leviticus chapter 26, verse 46. Seems like that's the fitting conclusion to the book. So why chapter 27? Well, various answers have been given. Some say that this supplementary chapter is like an appendix, just as you would have in many human books. Some say this chapter was added later by another inspired writer. Others, myself included, see this chapter as a logical extension of what we have in the first 26 chapters of Leviticus. Most of this chapter has to do with what was voluntary on the part of the people, not with what was required, as in the first 26 chapters of the book. Furthermore, especially after hearing the blessings and the cursings of the law that we had in chapter 26, there would be a tendency for the godly people in Israel to want to make vows to ensure that they would come under the blessings and not the cursings, wouldn't you? Well, I think we can all appreciate this point. And so here in Leviticus chapter 27, the primary topic is the regulation of voluntary vows and dedications to the Lord. And that brings us to our doctrinal points for this final chapter of Leviticus. So doctrinal point number 1. Under the law, there were regulations concerning vows. Under the law, there were regulations concerning vows. Verses 1 through 29. In this portion of the chapter, we have, first of all, the regulation of vows concerning the dedication of persons to the Lord. Verses 1 through 8, the verses that we just read. And then we have the regulation of vows concerning the dedication of animals to the Lord in verses 9 through 13. And finally, we have the regulation of vows concerning the dedication of property other than persons or animals to the Lord. The important point to remember about vows under the law is that they were voluntary and not mandatory, and usually temporary. However, if and when you did make a vow, it was a very serious matter and very important that it be kept during the time agreed upon. Now, in reference to the dedication of yourself or another person to the Lord, such as your servant or child, as in the case of Samuel, you had two options. The vow could either be fulfilled by literal service to the Lord or worship in the sanctuary, such as in the case of Hannah, dedicating Samuel to the service of the Lord. Or the other option was to redeem the person by a substitute payment of so many shekels to the central sanctuary. How many shekels? Well, it depended on age and whether male or female, apparently based on worth as a worker or servant, as we see in verses 1 through 8. By the way, 50 shekels for a man, verse 3, was equivalent to 50 months' wages and would certainly discourage rash vows. In verses 9 through 13, we have the regulations for dedicating animals to the Lord. Under the law, if you dedicated an animal to the Lord, you could not change your mind or switch animals. If you tried, then both animals belong to the Lord. Clean animals could be dedicated and either given to the priests for the many required regular sacrifices or redeemed by paying the value plus 20%. Unclean animals could be dedicated and either given to the priest for uses other than sacrifice. After all, priests could use unclean animals like donkeys for labor and so forth. Or these unclean animals could be redeemed by paying the value determined by the priest. Now in verses 14 through 25, we have the regulations for dedicating other property to the Lord. We see in verses 14 and 15 that under the law, you could dedicate your home to the Lord, but still live in it if you redeemed your house for its value plus 20%. You know, even today, it is pleasing to the Lord to dedicate our homes to Him, to be used in serving Him for God's glory. But do we really mean it? When you say, Lord, I want to dedicate my house to you and use this home to serve you, do we mean it? If we were still under the law, we would put our money where our mouth is. You would either literally give the house over to the church or some ministry, or you could continue to live in your home that you dedicated by redeeming it. That is, by paying its value plus 20% to the church or ministry. This would certainly show whether you really meant it when you said you wanted to dedicate your home and use it for God's glory. Now, in reference to dedicating land and fields, we see in verses 16 through 25 that the regulations for vowing and redeeming were a bit more complex because of a number of factors involved, such as how valuable was the land for the production of crops? How close were you to the year Jubilee? What would be the status of the land at the year Jubilee? This is all covered in the fine print of the legal contract of your vow, as it were, as we see in these verses. Now in verses 26 through 29, we have three categories of things that could not be dedicated by vow to the Lord. Number one, you could not vow or redeem firstborn clean animals, because they already belong to the Lord. However, unclean firstborn animals could be redeemed or sold by the priest. Let's read verses 26 and 27. But the firstborn of the animals, which should be the Lord's firstborn, no man shall dedicate. Whether it is an ox or sheep, it is the Lord's. And if it is an unclean animal, then he shall redeem it according to your valuation and shall add one-fifth to it. Or if it is not redeemed, then it shall be sold according to your valuation. Number two, you could not vow or redeem people or objects that had already been dedicated to the Lord for good purposes, such as the spoil of Jericho at the time of the conquest. The beginning of verse 28, nevertheless, no devoted offering that a man may devote to the Lord of all that he has, both man and beast, or the field of his possession shall be sold or redeemed. And number three, you could not vow or redeem people or objects that had already been designated for the Lord's judgment, such as a murderer or a thief like Achan, who stole some of the spoil of Jericho. The end of verse 28 Anything devoted to destruction is most holy to the Lord. And verse 29, no person under the ban who may become doomed to destruction among men shall be redeemed, but shall surely be put to death. Under the law, there were regulations concerning vows. Doctrinal point number two. Under the law, there were regulations concerning tithes. Under the law, there were regulations concerning tithes. Verses 30 through 34. Let's read these verses. Leviticus chapter 27, beginning now with verse 30. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. If a man wants at all to redeem any of his tithes, he shall add one-fifth to it. And concerning the tithe of the herd or the flock, of whatever passes under the rod, the tenth one shall be holy to the Lord. He shall not inquire whether it is good or bad, nor shall he exchange it. And if he exchanges it at all, then both it and the one exchanged for it shall be holy. It shall not be redeemed. These are the commandments which the Lord commanded Moses for the children of Israel on Mount Sinai. Now, in reference to tithing, there is some question as to how many tithes there were under the law. But in all cases, the tithes belong to the Lord. One-tenth of the flocks and herds, one-tenth of the land, one-tenth of the crops, one-tenth of the fruits, etc., all belong to the Lord. Now, you could redeem part of your tithe with money if you gave the value plus 20%. Suppose you needed more seed for planting, for example. You could redeem your tithe of seed. However, you could not redeem your tithe of animals. Every tenth sheep, for example, that passed randomly under the shepherd's rod in single file was marked and colored with dye and given to the Lord. Any attempt to exchange meant both animals had to be given to the Lord. Under the law, there were regulations concerning tithes. This brings us to our practical application for this final chapter of Leviticus. Don't try to beat the system. Don't try to beat the system. You know, we've seen in this chapter how God designed the law so that godly people could voluntarily make various vows of giving and dedication. But God also built into the law enough safeguards so that a person could not just talk a good line and put on a show of godliness and, as we say, beat the system. No. Those who vowed had to literally give what they dedicated or redeem it with a value plus 20% in money. There could be no talk and tokenism only. Now, what about us? Do we put on a good outward show of godliness and way over-exaggerate what little we're really doing for the Lord or what little we're really giving to the Lord? That's beating the system. Getting credit and praise for tokenism and for what you're not doing and not giving, that's hypocritical. Don't try to beat the system.